Well, for those who are maybe coming in fresh this morning, haven't been a part of New Life Church in the last few weeks, we've been working through a series of sermons that we've been rooted in the book of Psalms. And the Psalms are an interesting part of the Bible to study. And so if you're coming in new, just know that's where we've been. We've been looking not just at the Psalms, but at the questions that are at the heart of many of the Psalms, because they are often the questions that we have. The Psalms are an interesting part of our Bible because they are not so much God's word to us, but it is a way to express our words, our feelings, our emotions, our heart to God. They are ancient prayers and songs, prayers that were put to music for the good of the body, to express their sense of worship, either words about God or words to God, as prayers often are. And today our question that we're going to wrestle with, and I have it on the screen here, so I know you're going to know what it is, but it's kind of an odd question for many, and some of you are wondering maybe how does this even get addressed. But the question I'm going to wrestle with today is one that comes really out of the Psalms, and the question is, will life ever get better? Now, that may seem like an odd question to you. Maybe it's not a question that you have ever voiced in church. Maybe it's not a question you know if it's even appropriate to ask in the context of God. But yet it's a question that we as humans often struggle with, especially when we find ourselves in very deep and dark places. There is something that goes on very deep to the very core of who we are, that sometimes life, and it comes in sometimes in a series of events, that maybe not just one thing that devastates us, but one thing then followed by another, and we begin to wonder, is this what life is? Is this all life is? If there is a God, has he remembered me or have I been forgotten? And that question is, will things ever get better? Now, a lot of times we get, you know, I think for the majority of us, for the majority of the time, we live in kind of an optimistic point of view because we're not usually at the foot of that, underneath the load of all of that. And because we're not, we kind of expect things have a good ending, don't we? I was reading a book a couple of years ago. Actually, this is a phenomenal book if you're interested. It's called Endurance. It is the story of Shackleton's incredible voyage. And if you don't know anything about this, Ernest Shackleton was an explorer about 100 years ago. In August of 1914, he and a group of explorers set out to go to the South Pole. Now, that may not sound like a big deal to you, with all the technology we have today, with Lori's map of the world and all the stuff we know. But there was a time, and it wasn't all that long ago, that there were things that were not known. And yet, as they went to do this exploration, things went gravely awry. They got trapped in the ice, and the ice flow began to grow and began to move naturally farther and farther away from their destination, eventually crushing their ship and leaving them stranded out on the ice flow there off the coast of Antarctica. And over the course of 2 years, they went through an incredible journey. Now, the book wouldn't be written if there wasn't a happy ending, right? But there are no guarantees, and there weren't. You know, they had this was in the days before GPS and before satellite radio and before rescue helicopters and all the rest. There was no communication. There were sub-zero temperatures. There was hardly any food, and there was darkness. We talk about bringing light in the darkness. You know, we think it gets dark early now, don't we? You know, you leave work at 5 o'clock, and it's almost dark, and you think, oh, man, this is terrible. You know, on the South Pole, you know, it gets dark about mid-May. And the sun doesn't come back up until August. That's some darkness. That's some darkness that doesn't go away. And as I read the story, it is a miraculous story how, against all odds, Shackleton and all 27 of his crew survived that two-year ordeal. But as you read the story, you are gripped by the reality that all throughout they were struggling and wondering, will it ever get better? And they had no reason to believe it would. And yet they continued to fight, continued to struggle, continued to remain together, but they had no real assurance that there would be a happy ending awaiting them. And sometimes I think that's how it feels when we're in that dark place. For us, not knowing if that happy ending is coming or not. And that's part of the struggle we have sometimes with God when we get into a place similar to that, that darkness. And we don't know what's really coming next. We don't have a guarantee of a happy ending. As I said, the Psalms are written to be prayers written of to God or about God. Often they offer to us a prism of life through the variety of circumstances that life brings to us. And so we shouldn't be surprised that the Psalms, though we think of them often as notes of praise and joy and celebration, that there's also going to be notes of sadness and discouragement and a little bit of lostness in them, because those two are how we often feel in the circumstances of life. I teach a class at Fresno Pacific University. Some of you know it, okay? And one of the classes I teach talks about the overview of the Bible, and whenever we get to the book of Psalms, it is one of those odd parts that we recognize. There's 150 different Psalms, but as you begin to group them, you find they fall into different categories. We like to use this terminology in the way of kind of giving us some sense of understanding that there are different, and there's a variety of Psalms. Some of the Psalms we like to call Psalms of orientation. These are Psalms that help us know who we are and whose we are and what life is about, and this is where we're going. These are Psalms of celebration. These are often Psalms, things that we come very happy about. You know, this is make a joyful noise to the world, to the Lord, all the earth. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. These are psalms that speak to, in the midst of life, there is something good that we can hold on to. A number of psalms, and they fall into about three main categories, and they break into almost an even number for them too. The other ones are called psalms of reorientation. These are psalms that talk about stories of how things were bad at one point. I was deep in a dark in a pit, and yet the Lord rescued me, and he put my feet upon a solid rock. These are psalms that give us a sense of goodness, that even though we walked through a difficult place, we have come out on the good end, because God is good. And sometimes we're there, aren't we? But sometimes we're not there yet. And there are psalms also in the Bible for us to read and wrestle with that are called psalms of disorientation. When the world seems upside down and we don't know what God's up to, we don't know how God's going to work it out, we don't know if we're going to survive it. And there are psalms in the Bible that speak to that as well. So that when we come to that place in our life where it seems too deep for us and we don't know, we can't touch the bottom, I don't know how I'm going to get through this grief, I don't know how I'm going to get through this loss, I don't know what I'm going to do with this, we don't have to get angry at God and reject God, we don't have to run away from our church family because they'll think that we're not perfect and Christian enough to get through life, but there's a place for us to bring even those feelings. And in these psalms of disorientation, there is a special kind of psalm called the lament that we here in the churches don't know what to do with. We're going to be looking at one of these psalms of lament here this morning and wrestle with it, because quite honestly, we don't hear this in churches very often. We want to always have a happy ending by the time the hour is up, don't we? But sometimes life doesn't go with a happy ending before the hour is up. Psalm 88. I'd like to read it for you today. I'm going to give you the very beginning here on the screen and invite you, if you have Bibles you want to read along, that's great. Otherwise, just listen as I read it for you today, because I'm not going to walk it through. The words aren't so specifically important so much as the emotion that's behind it. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night, I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to hear my cry. This sounds good so far, doesn't it? But now we start sliding, because now we get real with God. I am overwhelmed with trouble. My life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. Ooh, that sounds bad, doesn't it? It's going to get worse. You know, I'll say this also about the Psalms. This is kind of an important feature for us as students of the Bible, that sometimes the Psalms can contain some kind of shaky theology. Now, don't think I'm being somehow un-Christian here to say that, because these are not necessarily God's words to us. These are our words, and sometimes our feelings may be legit, but they're not good theology either. But that's how we feel, and we can bring those feelings, even if they're not true or right, but they're how we feel. We can still bring those to God. To say that God remembers someone no more, I think that would go against the grain of what the Bible teaches us as to be true, but that's how that person feels in that moment. Maybe you felt that way before too, that God has somehow overlooked you, or God has somehow forgotten you, or God somehow no longer remembers you. That may not be true, but if that's how you feel, you need to tell God that's how you feel. He's big enough to take it. He won't get angry and abandon you at that point. Goes on. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the depths of darkness. Your wrath lies heavy on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. Selah. Now remember last week, for those who were here, we talked about that word Selah. When you find it in a psalm, it means stop, pause, think about it, let it sink in. Last week we looked at a psalm of praise, and we talked about this faithfulness of God that it talked about and how we should ponder that, because pondering God's faithfulness will help us as we endure our next step. But this isn't about God's faithfulness, this Selah. This Selah says, I'm stuck in a pit. I'm crushed under a load. I'm unable to escape, even to breathe. It's like waves are crashing over me. Now, the psalmist isn't speaking literally here. He's talking figuratively about these waves of life and circumstance and difficulty waving over him. I remember 20 years ago, though, literally, when Lori and I were away on an anniversary cruise, and we were down at Cabo San Lucas, and Lori got caught in the waves, and they were crashing over her. That the waves came and got her stuck against the rocks. You'll see, had her back against the rock, no place to go, no way to escape. And every time a wave would pull her down, and as she began to fight against it, another wave would come upon her. And as she fought against that, there another wave came upon her, to the point where in that moment, it felt like no escape. The good news is, this story has a happy ending. She's still here. But in that moment, there was such desperation and such despair. Overwhelming. Again, the psalmist isn't talking about a specific time when he was in the water, but just that's the feeling he has. Can you hear the emotion in this? Just crying out to God, this is where I am. This may not be right, but it's how I feel. What are you going to do? Help me if you will, God, but I feel like I've been forgotten and abandoned, and these waves just keep coming. That loss of that person dear to you, or that dream that you had, that hope for a future that now seems absolutely crushed. This is where we are under these waves. Okay, let me keep going, because we're not going to get through. And maybe we don't want to get through. Well, you do. We want to get through. You have taken from me my closest friends, and you have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim in grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Selah. Again, he's speaking as one who feels abandoned completely, who is utterly isolated, who is alone and without hope. Maybe you felt that way before. Maybe you feel that way now. Maybe you know somebody who feels that way even today. You know, I think this just raises for us, this is the human experience, and sometimes this is where we get caught. Where is God in the midst of this? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth, I have suffered and have been close to death. I have borne your terrors and I am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me all day long. They surround me like a flood, and they have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. Amen. That's the end of that prayer. Darkness is my closest friend. Are you sufficiently bummed out? I am. Wow. What do we do with that? What do we do with that? That feeling, not just that feeling of, why is this in the Bible? Because why is it in the Bible? Because this is how we feel sometimes. And what do we do when we feel that way? I'll tell you what most folk do. When they feel and they're in that dark, deep, dark place, they say, God's not worth trusting in. And so they get angry with God, they reject him. Or they say, church is not safe for me because people will think there's something wrong with me, or maybe God's angry with me, so I won't go to church. And if I do, I won't let anyone know what I am wrestling with. But most likely, I won't go to church at all. I feel a little too vulnerable to be a part of the family when this is what's going on in my life. Will life ever get better? So how does this fit? Okay, we want to try to figure out what is this going on here. First off, there are some hints. The first hint is in that first few verses. I want you to see this because this becomes a critical piece for us, that even when life feels this overwhelming and this completely unable to overcome it, this is the place that we are to go. The psalmist gives us voice. The psalm gives us a place to turn when our feelings are going this south. And it is to God. God, you are the God who saves me. He says that even in the face of not seeing where his happy ending may come from. For the person going through this kind of darkness, who is hanging on by a thread, there is a connection. That I'm not somehow sub-Christian because I feel this way, and that's where we go, isn't it? Oh my gosh, I couldn't. If I was a good Christian, I wouldn't think this. If I was a good Christian, I wouldn't do this. Or maybe we think that God has somehow turned into a monster that is doing this to me. Maybe this gives me a voice where I can say, and everything's not okay in my life, but I'm still going to turn and I'm still going to offer it to God. You know, Jill... For those who knew Jill, in these last few months going through the cancer as it was continuing to overtake and take her body away, she knew that this wasn't going to have a good outcome, where she was going to live here on this earth cancer-free forever. She knew that this cancer was going to ultimately lead to her death and her passing. She knew that. That wasn't something she looked forward to. She didn't know exactly how it was going to go. And some days she was very calm and accepting of that, and some days it would just tear her up. That darkness that the psalmist talks about was her companion as well. And the next day she would be in a better place of accepting and giving God praise and saying, boy, I was just in a bad place yesterday. I couldn't even pray. I couldn't even think about it because it was just too overwhelming, too daunting. And again, what we could say is, well, don't worry, Jill. You're going to go to heaven, and so that's all fine. And that's true. But that doesn't take away that feel of what's going on right now. So instead we say, let's go to him. Lord, you are the God who saves me. I don't know how. I can't see it. But I'm going to hold on to that. Second thing that we see as we look in the Psalms is, one, we got to keep that connection alive. And the second thing I want to say about this is that we also need to continue reading. Sometimes we get into the darkness, we think that's it. Let me go to Psalm 89. The very next psalm, "Darkness is my closest friend," is the last line. If you keep reading, the next line is this: "I will sing of the Lord's unfailing love forever." Sometimes I think, is God trying to make us crazy by taking us on this wild craziness here? You know, "Darkness is my closest friend, and I will sing of the Lord's unfailing love forever." Because our story's not written fully yet. That yes, there will be times when we will wrestle with darkness, because that's part of what it means to be human. But if we can somehow hold on, and if we can somehow stay in that connection, we may come to that place of seeing where God does something, whether through it or simply does something to enter in. "I will sing of the Lord's unfailing love forever. Young and old will hear of your faithfulness. Your faithful love will last forever. Your faithfulness is as enduring as the heavens." Again, this is not God being bipolar. It's not God trying to make us guess where he is. It is simply saying that there are times in our life when there is going to be an expression where we recognize God's goodness, but there may be times in our life when we cannot see it, and yet we are invited to stay somehow connected with him. But it also reminds us, and I think this is an important thing for us, church, is that we have folk living in our neighborhoods. Yeah, we're able to celebrate with Alex and young Alex and this miraculous healing, but what if 2 months ago Alex had lost his son? Would God be any less faithful? Would his promises be any less true? And yet it would feel like a very different situation. And our prayers and our hearts would need to be very much in a very different place, sensitivity-wise. I think this reminds us again that even if we're not in that place of darkness now, or maybe never have been, praise God if that's the case, that there are folk around who are in that place of darkness as thick as this, and that we need to be aware and sensitive and open to being there and being God's light in the darkness for them. If we are in this place and then we hear these words, it reminds us that we have a connection, we have a place, we have a voice. If we have been through that place but we're not there anymore, we have a reason for us now to be thankful. And if we've never been there, we have a reason to be all the more sensitive, because sometimes when we haven't suffered, we are not very sensitive to those who are suffering around us. And so this psalm, as a pattern of prayer for us, even if it's not our place, does something to our heart to make us more of God's ambassadors to those around us. If I could say just those three things, we are invited then to stay connected, because God is here for you. We see that throughout the psalm. To keep reading, because as we move forward, we see that there are notes of praise all around it, though it's not in that moment of our depression. And that we can be aware. We can be aware of those who need to know that God is there for them, and God hears, and God has not forgotten, no matter what we may feel. This psalm is challenging for us because it takes us to emotional places we don't want to go. But I think that's part of the beauty of the Psalms for us all. Will life ever get better? I think we get a resounding maybe. But is God good through it all? Resounding yes. Does God hold something for us that we may not be able to understand the fullness of our life, if all we see is life as it is, but in the context of eternity, there is something even better? Yes. But as we struggle along, as we struggle to help those around us along, this psalm gives us voice to meet them in their darkness as well. God, I thank you that even in those places of our despair, they're not just cliches, and it's not just trite responses, but that you receive us in the fullness of our emotion, in the fullness of our depression, in the fullness of our frustration, grief, sadness, and loss, even as you receive us in our moments of joy, in our moments of hope, in our moments of celebration, in our moments of testimony of how good you are and how good life is. Father, I thank you for the hope that you give to us even in the midst of this, and also for the hope that you give that even when we've been there 10,000 years, God, as the song says, that we've no less days to sing your praise. God, we thank you that there is something that is yet to come, that though we cannot fully see it now, we thank you for the hope that you continue to drive into us. And so we ask that you would meet us here, that you would lift us up, that you'd continue to give us a place of connection and a place to voice. In Jesus' name, amen.